Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with the saints this morning. And it is glorious out. I came down, it was already 33 degrees. It's pretty bad when the one morning this week I was just telling Keith a little bit ago, I said, you know, I got up and I looked at the thermometer and it said 7 below. And it's been a while since it's been 7 below around this neighborhood. We've been spoiled by some of the winters as of late. This year we're just having a good old-fashioned winter, and it can go away today. But I have the sneaky suspicion it just may last a little longer. In your Bibles, if you would, turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. This morning, we're continuing a study that originated from a episode on the radio that I was flipping through the radio, and I came across a guy that very seriously said, there is no way you can tell me in the Bible that Jesus Christ, and prove to me that Jesus Christ is God. And we spent some time addressing that. And then we began from that spinning off into of who I am now as a result of Jesus Christ. Because of him, this is who I am. Well, to start this morning, we're going to take a look at who I used to be. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time that we have to come together and study your word. As we take that time this morning, may your name be honored, magnified, and glorified. And through this study, and all studies that go on here, that the name of Jesus Christ would be honored, glorified, and magnified. We express our appreciation for all that he's done for us. Through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, we began 2 weeks ago, and we skipped a week last week. This little thing called winter showed up here, and kind of canceled everything. And this verse is very clear who we used to be. We were not pretty. You know, you all know I've been looking for a couple of different jobs in the past the last 6 months. And there's this thing called a resume that you make up. And in this resume, it gives all the characteristics of who you are. You're trying to show this employer who you are and how you could be an asset to that company. We too, in our former state, which was a sinner, had a resume. And that resume is not pretty, is it? When we look here at verse number 6, it says, Christ died for who? Was I ungodly in my sin condition? Absolutely. Is that a good thing to add to your resume or a nasty thing to put to your resume? Not good. I always say this almost every time I speak. I do not ask difficult questions. If I ask difficult questions, could I answer them? No. I like easy questions. Sometimes I'll even miss an easy question. That's just who I am. But in here it says, I was ungodly. Look at verse number 8 of the same chapter. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet, what? Was I a sinner? Yes. Did I prove that fact on a daily basis? Yes. This is the condition we're all in. This is who we are. This is our resume. It is not pleasant. Look at verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, were we an enemy of God when we were in our sin condition? Yes. We were not an asset to him. He very easily could have squashed us like the bugs we are. We are no good. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is nothing good in and of myself. As hard as I tried to keep the law, even some of the false law that was in my former doctrine, the church I used to go to, I didn't deserve what I've been given freely by his grace. And I rejoice in that. We are in Romans 5:18. Don't go there. Condemned. Galatians 3, verse number 10. I'm cursed. In Ephesians 2:1, I am dead to sin. This is my resume. This is Robert Beam. This is Rhonda Mitchell. Sorry, Rhonda. Okay? All right. We're still friends?
It's not anymore.
It's no longer who you are. It's not a part of you. Because of that power that is demonstrated at the cross, He is able to take and transform us from a sinner to a saint. We are taken and we are given everlasting life. Did I deserve everlasting life? I deserved everlasting damnation. But I rejoice in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at Calvary. This is who I used to be. And what we finished with 2 weeks ago was we went down through, I believe it was 10 or 11 different points. We're not going to do all these. But just sitting down, getting out Strong's Concordance and putting in something as simple as I am, came up with a lot of who I've become. And this is who I should be. I am Bob Beam in the eyes of God is what? Dead. I am not dead. Because whose life is resident inside me? Christ. Look at who I become. I'm just going to quote down through those 10, maybe 11 points, and I'll give you the verse to go along with that. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I am buried with Christ, Colossians 2:12. I am risen with Christ, Colossians 2:12. I am alive with Christ, Galatians 2, verse number 20. I am ascended with Christ, Ephesians 2:6. I am seated with Christ, again, Ephesians 2:6. I am joint heir with Christ, Romans 8, verse number 17. I am indwelt by the Father, Ephesians 4:6, clearly shows that the Father lives inside me. I am indwelt by the Son, Colossians 1:27, and again, Galatians 2:20. So not only does the Father live inside me, but the Son lives inside me. I am indwelt by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3, number 16. So the Father lives inside me, the Son lives inside me, the Holy Ghost lives inside me. I have become the temple of who? Where's God hang out? In us. He lives in His temple. In the Old Testament, it used to be a building. Is it a building anymore? It's you and I. The moment you trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, when you recognize that it's His shed blood that was sacrificed for remission of sins, you are no longer an enemy of God. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living inside you. You're the temple of God. You're where God resides. And I again say, as I did 2 weeks ago, He shorted Himself, didn't He? Because I didn't deserve that. But He's given it to me freely by His grace. Praise God. I think that's where we left off. Let's go look at another point. Because of all this, an amazing thing transpired. Go to Romans chapter 1. First point today. Okay. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, and that's not Pope, whatever his name is, Pope Frank, Francis. That was one time I was having a friend of mine, we were talking, and his granddaughter said to him, Daddy, are we going to see Pope Frank today? Okay. Pope Frank. Anyhow, to all that be in Rome, beloved of who? What does beloved mean? Yes. In fact, you want to get real fancy about it, we can put this down. How about that? You can put the well in front of that. You are well loved. Did God love us? Yes. Perfect proof of that is he sent who to Calvary's cross to die in our stead? He loved us so much, and while that he was yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says here in Romans 1, verse number 7, beloved of God, you are well loved. You want to see how much he loved you? Who else did he call beloved? Christ. Here in Romans 1, verse number 7, called to be what? Saints. All right. Picture me in a long fancy robe. Remember when I wanted to be a priest? No, I thought it was funny too. Can you see? You can't see me. You don't want to see me like this, let alone in a robe. Putting on one of those beanie hats that they wear, and you go around, oh, M-O-U-S-E. Anyhow, I'm making light. I'm a saint. In the Roman Catholic Church's eye, in order to become a saint, there has to be a couple of miracles performed while that individual was currently dead. There had to be some miracles performed, and they claim it's from that person's behalf, and because of that, they declare that person a saint. Is that how you become a saint? How do you become a saint? By God's grace. How you become a saint is that day when from her family and her, who is sitting in the couch of the home I currently live in, and we were in there and they were giving the gospel. She says she doesn't even remember it, but it's true. Sitting there, I'm listening, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. You mean just by simply trusting in the finished work of Christ at Calvary, I have the gift of everlasting life, and it's not what I do, it's what he did? Yeah, that's it. And I thought, wow, I'm taking that deal. That's a great deal. I believe that. They had verses behind it to prove it too, by the way, which always helps, doesn't it? That's why we have this little thing called a Bible study. And I became a Saint Robert, Saint Bob, Saint Keith, Saint Tracy. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it?
That's grace.
That's grace. That was a good one, too. That's right up there with Ruddle's chuckle. I'm a saint. What does saint mean, basically? What word does that come from? The word what? Sanctified. Again, don't ask tough questions. It says here, that church at Rome, because they are beloved, because they are greatly loved, God greatly loved them? Absolutely. Called to be saints. The moment we trusted that sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary, I've become a saint. It wasn't because some guys wearing beanies and long robes and going around with incense and all that fancy stuff you see on the TV, but because of him. I've become a saint. What am I? I am a saint, and I'm beloved of God. Go to Romans chapter 6. Never forget that day. I was sitting on the couch. Frankly, where our couch is in our living room right now. I was sitting there and listening to this, and I know they had to have gone over this. I went to their churches at that time. It was a fundamentalist church. All that trust in Christ business, I always thought I had to work my way to church. But man, you give that word and you can make a person, transform them from a sinner to a saint in an instant. Romans 6, verse number 2. What else am I? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to what? I'm dead to sin. Went over just a short while ago how I used to be a sinner. It's not saying that I don't screw up from time to time now. Fact is, I already asked the question, how often do you think I do things that I shouldn't do? How about on a daily basis? And there are times you don't even know that something is wrong and you're doing it wrong. But according to this passage, I am dead to sin. In the eyes of the Lord, do I have a sin issue anymore? In the fact of, is that who I am now? No. We just went over it. Who have I become? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm sure you can remember, you have that verse permanently and fixed in your brain, and good for you, because that's a magnificent verse, a fantastic verse. I am dead to sin, and because I am dead to sin, and I am no longer a sinner, I'm a saint. How should I react in light of that? Based on who I've become. Does the Father live inside me? Does the Son live inside me? Does the Holy Spirit live inside me? Act who I've become. You ever have your parents tell you when you were a kid, Tracy, be a big boy. Would you stop it? Cut it out. Does your wife ever say that to you? She says no. When I was a kid, do you suppose there were times my father got me out into the hallway and took this thing off his pants called his belt and give his son a spank or two? And somehow I lived through it. Surprise, surprise. Fact is, I think it made me a better person. Subject for another day. Act like you become. Bob, stop it. You're an adult son of God now. You're not a little boy anymore. You're a full-grown man. Act like it. Act who you've become. If the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live inside you, and God's living inside you, who should you act like? Bob or a saint? Should I act like the life of Christ is living inside me? Now notice I said should. That's our choice. But live who you've become. Romans 6, verse number 14. It says here, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under what? What am I? I am not under law. No, I can't sing either. I am not under law. I'm under. It was grace that rescued me. It was a grace that set me free. I was lost. I am found. A hiding place. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. What am I? What's grace? What's the definition of grace? Man, that girl's good. And I know you guys know the answer, but what you're doing is you're sitting there and saying, I'm not going to answer it just in case I'm wrong. I don't want to be embarrassed. You think I've never done that? I'm not under law. Thank God I'm not under law, because I was a miserable failure under law. We've gone over that before. Thou shalt not do this thing over here. Guess what I would probably do? This thing over. Don't pray to idols. When I was younger, do you think I ever prayed to an idol? Remember where the background I came from was, right? Did I worship an idol? I didn't think I was. You're not worshiping an idol. I'm telling you what, if you're laying down in front of a statue and you're praying, sorry, you're worshiping an idol. Romans 6, verse number 23. And here in Romans 6, verse number 23, we're going to look, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Through who? See, it's never about me. It's always about Him, isn't it? It's always about Christ. It's always about the Father. It's always about the Holy Spirit. And these three are 1 John 5:7. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know what I've become? Boy, I tell you what, whenever I was a lot younger, I was pretty close friends with a gentleman that was a priest in our parish. He probably, well, he's gone now. But if he were alive, he'd be rolling over in his grave hearing me say some of this stuff. I am Can those who are lost have that comfort? No. How long am I going to live? In this body, I don't know. But I do know this thing. The moment I die and I stand in the presence of our Lord, it's instantaneous. I'm there. And how long do I get to hang with Him? Isn't that cool? Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I am eternal. Romans chapter 8. We're spending a lot of time in Romans. I bet there was a good reason Paul wrote the book of Romans. You know that? There's all kinds of neat information in that book. Yeah, I'm telling you, Philippians 2 is still my favorite passage by this much. Romans 8 is really close. But the whole book of Romans is an amazing piece of writing. Romans 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no what to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Here it is, the Spirit again. Does the Spirit live inside you? There is no condemnation. Absolutely, positively, no condemnation. I am I'm running out of board.
Ah.
Close enough. May not even be spelled right. That's okay. I'm free from condemnation. You know what that means? There's no sentence on me anymore. The wages of sin is, there's the sentence. Bob, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've trusted that finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Guess how much condemnation I have on me right now? That judge stands up there, he looks at you and says, you are free to go because you're not condemned. There's no condemnation passed on you. You're free. That's every one of us. That's absolutely every one of us the moment you trusted Christ. The moment you realized it's not about me, it's all about Him. Because look what He's done for me. And I accept that free gift. Free. Didn't cost you a nickel. Nothing. And you're free. No condemnation. The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Don't ask tough questions, guys. He mentions that again down in verse 34 of the same passage, Romans 8. For who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also maketh intercession for who? It's all about who? There's his name written right there, a couple words ahead of that. Wow. It's nothing about me. It's all about him. Romans 8. Verse number 14. Romans 8, 14. What else am I? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of what? What have I become? It says here that now I am, I got a different pen. How about that? Looks pretty now. Who are you, Rhonda? Who are you? Who are you? Everybody in this room, who are you? You're a son of God. Isn't that amazing? How incredible is that? Judy! I know you're my wife. But who are you? Are you a son of God? The moment you trusted Christ, you're a son of God. William, you know you're a son of God? Everybody that's trusted Christ, you're a son of God. All right. Good deal. What do I got to do to become a son of God? Believe the gospel. It's brilliant. Satan had no idea when he was putting Christ on that cross and cheering them all on whenever they were crucifying Christ, had no idea he was killing himself in the process. And guess where he gets to go for eternity? Ever hear of this place called the Lake of Fire? Lake of Fire is a miserable place to be. Think hell's bad? Lake of Fire makes hell look like a Sunday school picnic. It's bad. I'm not saying hell's a good place either. It's not. But this is worse. And because Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Who is living inside you again? Because he's the Son of God, guess what you are? Amazing. Romans 8, verse number 29. For whom we were skipping verse 28, it would be a shame to misnumber verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his what? There's my black pen back. Are you called? Is Jesus Christ called? Is Jesus Christ called the Son of God? So, since you're a son of God, does that mean you're called? Going through some of these pretty quick now. Don't want to take up too much time. You are called? Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did, what's that word? Does God know you? Bob. The moment you got saved, Jesus Christ was foreknown. Was Jesus Christ foreknown by the Father? So does that mean you're foreknown by the Father? Because who's living inside you? We are foreknown, and I didn't deserve it. I'm telling you, did not deserve it. I should have been one of those characters that went to the lake of fire. Now I understand. The world may look at you and think you're a pretty good person. There's one thing you can't hide your resume from, and that's from the Almighty. You've been given everything. Where you are a son of God, and you are foreknown. What else are you? Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did, what's that word? To be conformed to the image of his who? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You are foreknown. You are predetermined. Did God predetermine you? In other words, did he have this incredible plan? Tracy talks about this a good bit. If you're foreknown, and Christ was predetermined to be the Son of God, were you determined to be a Son of God? Did God have this genius plan where he was going to reconcile the heavens and the earth under his authority and control? And because of that, he predetermined you, young lady. He predetermined Patty. He predetermined even Keith. Can you imagine that? He predetermined me to be a son of God, to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a minister of reconciliation of the world. We have the answers the world needs. I can pretty much guarantee you they're not going to like it, but do you have an answer for them? If somebody didn't come to you and witness to you, would you have eternal life right now? You might think you're okay, but you're not. I used to think I was okay because I was better than this person over here and better than that person over there. This other guy, I might have to work a little harder because he's really cool. But it's never anything about me. It's always, 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 always about him. Conformed to the image of his son, were transformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the what? Firstborn. What's it mean to be the firstborn? Yeah. Again, I say, I don't ask tough questions, because if I did, I wouldn't be able to answer them. Was Jesus Christ the firstborn of the Father? I repeat the question for the 22nd time, and I don't know that. I'm just making that up today. Is Jesus Christ the firstborn? And you have the likeness of the Son living inside you. Are you the firstborn? Where we have received the adoption of sons. Is Jesus Christ, in the eyes of God, the adopted son? Are you the adopted son? Oh, I have so much I want to say, but it's going to have to shut up here soon. Fine. We are conformed to the adoption of sons, Romans 8, 29. Romans 8, verse number 30. Where we read in Romans 8, verse number 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, we had already went over, we are predetermined, right? Them he also what? I need a bigger board. Keith, do you mind if I write on a wall?
I don't care,
We are. Okay, I'll do this here. You're called. Lord, I wish I knew what my calling was. Please tell me who I am. Are you called? According to that verse, you are. And you are transformed by the renewing of your mind by looking at this stuff. You are called. It says also in verse number 30, them he also did what? I heard one say it right. It's justified. The other one was just an accident. When Christ died, he paid for how many sins? Does all really mean all, or is there something you can, because there's people that say that you can use your eternal life because of you doing something bad. How many sins were covered by Christ? And because of it, you are justified. You're justified. Isn't that terrific? Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that amazing? Them whom he justified, declared righteous is all that means. You're declared righteous. Rhonda, you're declared righteous. Bob, you're declared righteous. Amazing. I guess I could say that for the other Bob, too. I know him better than that. We're justified. And we are also, verse number 30, them who he also justified, them he justified, he also glorified. Remember that thing we talked about called a resume? We talked about who we used to be. We were ungodly. We were condemned. We deserved eternal damnation for all of eternity. Not like purgatory, like some people believe that there is, where you can go there and pay for your sins that you did that were bad, that they had to be covered up by a little bit of punishment. You eventually get out and you go on your merry little way to heaven. Doesn't work like that. What works is who we've become. And it's nothing to do with me. It has absolutely, positively everything to do with him, not me. Look at the resume now, and we're not done yet. There's more. I am beloved of God. I am well loved. I am dead to sin. I am under grace. I am eternal. I'm free from condemnation. I am a son of God. Man, that still takes my breath away. That all takes my breath away, but that really just, I'm a son of God. I am called. I am foreknown. I am predetermined. I am the firstborn. I have the adoption of sons. I am called. I am justified. I am glorified. Remember that old resume we used to have? Which resume looks a little better? This is who I am. That resume that I took into those other places, I said, this is who I am. And by the way, can you fib on your resume? Oh. But in the eyes of the Lord giving me all this, is God a liar? No. Do we have everything? I don't know whether I'll go on another week. I might. I probably still won't finish. But if I go another week, then I can honestly say that's enough anyway. I can just rattle the rest of them off to you. This is who we are. Rejoice in it. Understand what you've become. All because of him, nothing to do about me. Not one thing. I was a louse. I was a little bug that deserved to be squashed. Praise God for what He's done for all of us. And because of it, I will use this one verse, and we'll use it next week probably sometime. 1 Corinthians 1:8, you don't have to turn there. But it says, in that verse, I will be confirmed unto the end. Guaranteed, cannot lose. It's yours and mine. Let's share this message to those who don't know it or understand it. Even if they won't listen, at least they heard it. Can't say, but I never knew. Yes, you did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity. Again, we've had to come together and study your word. We rejoice for what we've been given freely by your grace. May we be the ministers of reconciliation of the world that we should be. And as we do that, may all honor and glory go to you. For it is through Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.